Welcome to Carnation Currents. This is Amy Arrington, City Manager of the City of Carnation. And with me is our treasurer, Ms. Kelly Russell. Hello, Ms. Kelly.
Hello, Amy.
How are you doing this lovely day?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, it's interesting. The day we're recording this, it's a little overcast right now. The sun might come out later.
But it's not torrential rain.
It is not. And I will say, fall is definitely here upon us. So Kelly has joined me today because when it gets about this time of year, as some of you probably know, it is budget season. We run on the calendar year, so we need to get a budget put together. So when it comes January 1st, 2020, we're ready to go. And of course, we couldn't do our budget without Kelly. So wanted to bring in the expert to help us just hit some highlights. And maybe later as we move forward, we might do something a little bit deeper. But today is just more getting out some education and knowledge of what we're working on. So right now, I guess we'll start with maybe the calendar of it. We just started our, we always kick things off with a workshop with the council.
Correct.
And we did that on September 17th. We called it the proposed preliminary budget. And you could probably get on the website and look at it, but it's definitely still a working document.
Most definitely. This is actually a little early for our proposed preliminary. Isn't officially issued until the first council meeting in October. So this was just a pass of rough numbers to kind of get input from council and have an open discussion so that when we issue the actual official proposed preliminary budget on October 1st, we've got a little bit deeper direction.
Right. So when we present it, they go, oh yes, we like this, because you don't want to get too far in the process and then go, can we do something a little different, or can you change that? So so as we mentioned, we did a kind of a first review. We've got more reviews coming. In fact, we have on the agenda schedule October 1st, which is a definite, we'll be reviewing the proposed preliminary. Yes. And then also we have it scheduled for the 15th. If everything goes great on the 1st, we might pull that from the agenda, but most likely, because that's a budget, it's a very big document, lots involved, we'll probably spill over to both meeting dates, I'm expecting.
That would be my anticipation.
Right. So, and after we get through that, the public, I just want to encourage you, while it's not a public hearing, you are definitely encouraged to come. It looked like we had some residents that didn't speak at the last meeting, so they probably were interested in just hearing what the council was thinking about. But, of course, we want public input, so we do have public hearing scheduled for the budget coming up in November.
November.
There's two of them, because I think we are required to have two public hearings.
We are.
So November 5th and November 19th are the public hearings.
Correct.
So we definitely encourage the public to come out to those meetings if you're interested. What we typically do is Kelly and I just make a presentation for everybody, hit the big highlights, changes, and then of course we give the public an opportunity to speak, give their support, ask their questions, if you have any concerns. And this year we're moving things up a little bit quicker on the approval.
Correct. Typically we adopt the first council meeting in December, but we have two council member seats that are can be completely new candidates.
Right. So, and just so the public knows, because I know this has surprised a few people we've talked to, as you probably all know, because we're in election time as well, I'm sure you've seen signs and maybe heard for some of the candidates, but the positions that our candidates are running for are appointed positions. So with the way the state law goes is when you're filling an appointed position, as soon as things are certified, you get sworn in. So most likely, instead of the typical January swearing in, it's going to happen in December.
Correct.
And so the council and staff completely agrees that it just makes sense. Two new people, it's a lot coming on, even though I know the candidates are well informed. We wanted the sitting council to be the one to just go ahead and get approved the budget.
It's a big decision.
Right. And luckily, we do amendments fairly regularly. So even if the new members might have some suggestions, we can always hit that in 2020. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the schedule. And then the 19th, just so you know, there's three approvals. There is the budget approval, but we also have to approve two other items regard to revenues. There's the fee resolution, which we have created a fee that has all our charges that for services are in that. Another big one is our property tax levy that we have to approve each year as part of the budget process. So, did I forget one, Kelly?
Yeah, we also have to adopt the amendment for the 2019 budget the same time as we adopt the 2020 budget. So we have to tie up 2019 and then also adopt the 2020 budget.
Right. So a lot of different things going on these next couple months with regard to our budget process. And I know the budgets, as you know this too, it's very important because, I mean, that drives a lot of the charges for services, which the city council and staff are very well in tune with. I definitely want to start with a message that we've been working on a lot, trying to communicate from feedback we've heard from residents. Speaking of our property tax levy, one of the things that we talk about regularly is property taxes and what we're calling the misconception.
Yes.
So I'll let Kelly, why don't you jump into that?
Well, I think the misconception is while property tax rates are, you know, relatively high and they keep going up, the city itself only receives 10% of your total property tax that you pay for any given year. So if your property tax bill for a year is $8,000, the city only receives $800 of that. There are other multiple jurisdictions that get a piece of that pie. The biggest piece goes to the schools, but that also is what pays for fire, your library, hospital services. A portion of that goes to the Port of Seattle. A portion of your property tax goes to the county, EMS, and then there's a small piece that goes for floods.
Yeah. So, and we appreciate that support we get from the residents because we take that and try to make it go as far as possible. So, and other thing just to hit on for revenue sources people might be interested in is, yes, we're very reliant on our property tax, but it's important to point out that's not 100% of our revenues or even a majority of our revenues.
No. The general fund is funded at roughly at 60% taxes. 30% of that is property tax, approximately 30% of that is sales tax, and then another 30% is utility taxes.
Yes. So, and I also want to make another plug. We don't necessarily put this in the budget document, but I think we say it on a regular basis, sales tax. As the residents know, we all know, we don't have a huge amount of businesses in town, but thanks to Washington state law, there is a way you can help us out with sales tax.
Washington is a destination-based sales tax. So for all of your online ordering, Carnation actually receives the sales tax on that versus going to the box store in Issaquah, for example, and their sales tax rate is 10%. Ours is 8.6. So you're helping your local community and you're also saving yourself percentages of your taxes
exactly.
That you pay.
So definitely first and foremost, support your local businesses, shop local. But if you can't get what you need locally, order it online.
Right. Have it shipped to you.
Exactly. Everybody wins. So, all right. So those are some of the revenues. And speaking of revenues, don't want to jump around too much, but I mean, as a whole, we went through the budget on the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything major, any big differences.
No, there's no real change from 2019 to 2020. In fact, I think there's $50,000 difference, maybe, in the general fund.
Right.
And we have no major things planned. I mean, our staffing levels are staying the same. We're not making any major, you know, changes from 2019 to 2020.
Right. Now, one thing I just want to mention, I think is really great, is the past couple years, at least, the council has decided to start doing some funding of some of our community organizations. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're going to continue on that path.
We are. And council has, you know, put $20,000 in the budget, and they will make the decision later on which entities they're going to fund and at what level.
Exactly. Luckily, it looks like they have upped that amount right at this point
a little bit.
I don't know if it's going to stay there. We're still a little early, but they did add additional $5,000
Correct. We went from 15 to 20, which is actually 1% of the general fund revenues that they are investing back into community organizations.
Yes, which is fabulous. And also, it's a good thing they were able to do that, because it seems like we're getting more and more requests from different very worthwhile agencies. I know it's going to be a tough decision for them, but they're very smart people.
I know
they'll figure it out. So, well, that's some of our budget. Now, we do have some capital projects that we are looking to do this year. Not a ton, but there's some. Is there anything, I guess, what are some of the highlights of those?
I know we're looking to get the Tote Corridor project underway.
Yay.
We are looking to get started on the McKinley sidewalk storm drain problem. We did apply for a grant for that. We will find out from TIB in November, I believe, as to when that, whether that's approved or not. And then in the water department, we have the Northeast 24th Street culvert that is basically a fish project, that we have a water line out there that we have to move because of our franchise agreement with them. So we'll be doing that. We'll be replacing the source meter up at the springs and putting in a permanent generator at the well.
So those are great. And just in case anybody caught it, yes, 24th Street is outside the city limits.
It is.
But as you know, that's where our main water source is located at. And we have a partnership with the county, and we're using their right-of-way, no charge. So they have a project that our water line has a conflict with. So we
must move it.
Yes. And we're glad to continue to be a partner with them. So I'm trying to think, Miss Kelly, is there anything else? We did some improvements, I would say, to the budget last year with some additional graphs and charts. We're adding a little bit more information this year as well, just to be helpful and give both the council and the public maybe a little bit more information and snapshot about our financial health.
We were trying to present it in such a way that it made sense to the general public and people that are not knee-deep in this every day. I can talk numbers all day long, but that doesn't necessarily make sense to the average person that's not knee-deep in this every day.
Yeah, I don't feel bad. She still uses the count numbers, and I know most of them, but not all of them. So, yes, I understand that.
So I was just trying to make it more user-friendly, and, you know, our goal here is always to be transparent with our citizens in how we're spending their money. So the graphs and charts kind of send that message out in a little bit different way.
Right. So
I would just really encourage people to review the budget online, or you can come into City Hall at any time. While the public hearings aren't until November, there is an opportunity for you to speak for 3 minutes and address council at all of our city council meetings. So I would highly encourage you to review the budget. And if you have specific questions or interactions, recommendations that you would like to make to the council in October, you can come to the October 1st or the October 15th meeting and ask your questions and share your concerns in that 3-minute window as the council moves forward in making decisions in the budget.
Right. Nope, exactly. So definitely put on your calendar the next 4 council meetings. We meet the 1st and 3rd Tuesdays at 7 p.m. here at City Hall. So you'll hear about the budget more than you want to know. But definitely try to, you know, take a look at it. And if you want to ask questions, like Kelly said, express support, concern, we welcome that. The council really appreciates that public input, and definitely would encourage you to come to the November 5th and 19th meeting just to give that feedback. So, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today and helping.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, we want to definitely, budget's very important, and we just want to get that word out to the public and hopefully get a little bit of involvement and feedback, because, you know, the budget's going to provide the services that we provide to the public.
Well, it's our planning document for what is the direction we're going to take in 2020. What are we going to accomplish? What are we going to get done?
Exactly.
So
great. Well, thank you so much. Well, I hope everybody stays tuned for a little bit more here on Carnation Currents. Kelly, thanks again.
You're very welcome.
All right. And we'll be back in just a moment here on Valley 104.9.
Time has a way of erasing many things. In the case of 1960s music, many of the songs and stories have been forgotten or are seldom heard. I'm Steve Arthur. Each Saturday evening at 5:30, I'll revive those songs and your memories on Forgotten Hits of the 60s. Right here on Valley 104.9 FM, your station for Northwest eclectic music.
From the 50s to the 60s and 70s, it's the Saturday Night Oldies Show, Saturdays, 6 to 9 p.m. on Valley 104.9.
Welcome back to Carnation Currents. This is Amy Arrington, City Manager, still with you. And I just want to take this time to talk to you a little bit about some exciting events coming up here in Carnation. Hopefully you can participate in them. The first I would like to talk to you about today is the first ever Hike to the Site event. Hopefully you have seen or heard about our event. You may have seen the tagline, Be Damn Ready. So what this is, maybe for any new residents that may not be aware of seeing any of the publicity for the event, is we here in Carnation are downstream from the Tolt Dam. Seattle Public Utilities has a very large dam on the Tolt River, which helps produce the water supply that they provide to a lot of the residents here in King County. It's a great dam. The city council recently took a tour of it. It is very, very safe, well maintained, and a great group of people up there taking care of it and looking after it every single day. However, while not likely, there is a possibility the dam could breach. And if that did occur and the dam failed, there would be a very large wall of water coming for Carnation. There's been some different sciences, studies that have been done. I know when I first came to Carnation, I was on a tour of the city with one of our staff members and pointed out on 50th Street a small trail. And I was told that was the evacuation trail for the water. And I was like, what water? And we said, well, if the dam breaks, we'll have 20 minutes and we'll have 13 feet of water coming towards town. The recent news or updates from SPU is that actually the amount of water is probably correct, but the timing is a little quick. We actually will have a little bit more time to prepare. Hopefully you all have heard of the sirens on Wednesday at noon. It's a weekly test to make sure that the siren is working. So as always, if you hear that siren at any other time on noon on Wednesday, please start heading for the evacuation hill. And then if it is noon on Wednesday, just make sure it's saying it's a test. So with that, talking with residents, we know a lot of people are very aware the children, both Tolt Middle School and Carnation Elementary, do annual walks with the students. Every other year, it's a full walk where they go all the way up the hill. Not every year they do that. But we know a lot of the students here in town are aware where to go and are familiar with the facility. But we know a lot of the adults are not. And we know a lot of adults, work out of the area. And so we really wanted to take this chance to educate everybody about the potential of a dam failure, but also maybe just use this to think a little bit more about emergency preparedness. So we've really set up a really great event. So Saturday, September 28th. So if listening to this on this next Sunday, that's next Saturday. We're going to do a multi-tiered event. So we're going to start at 9 a.m. at Tolt Middle School with a seminar. We're going to have different representatives from emergency preparedness community give you a presentation about the Tolt Dam, the risk it present and what you might want to do during this emergency. And then that should only be about 20 minutes. And then we're going to do a panel discussion where we're going to do some feedback, take some questions, just try to answer some questions we know the public will have. We plan on wrapping that up at 9:45 a.m., giving everybody a 15-minute break. And at that time, you're going to have a choice. You can either stay there with your neighbors and friends and just talk, or you can head back to your home. But the plan and what we want to see happen is everybody at 10 o'clock sharp, we will all assume that we've got the message that the dam has been breached and that we need to head up the hill. So at 10 o'clock, we'd like to have everybody walk up the hill. Now, just so you know, when you'll learn more about this at the seminar, we do have two paths. And I know a lot of people are not aware of, they may know about one, but they don't know about the other, or maybe not about either. So that's, again, part of the education process. So there is a small trail on 50th Street. If you go past the entrance to the estates and the Brumbaugh subdivision, as you get to the near the end of the road, you'll see a small sign, evacuation trail. That is the more northern path. The southern path is off Entwistle and 45th Street. You can go up Tolt River Road. And if you participate in the event, there'll be a ton of people. Hopefully, we've had a lot of real, very good positive response to the event. So we are looking forward to seeing a lot of people at 10 o'clock walking up the pass. We're going to have volunteers along the way just to help and make sure nobody is in need. And we want you to walk up to the evacuation site. For those of you that have never been to the hill, it is very basic. It is a very, it'll be a very high and dry spot in a case of an emergency, but it's a very flat couple acre parcel of land. There are some storage facilities up there. Red Cross, who is planning to participate in the event, has a storage unit that has some very basic supplies. And then the school, in case the breach happens during the day and school's in session, they have a couple storage units for supplies again, but those are for the students. As you will see when you get up there, there's really not much any, you know, there's not much else up there. So it is very basic, and we wanted to let everybody know what it will take to get up the path, because we envision that, you know, if we are in an emergency situation, we all are probably going to have a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of stress. You're probably thinking about, you know, what to take, what not to take. Of course, you probably are going to have your family with you, of course. And I know most of us that have pets are going to be doing our best to bring up your animals as well. So if there ever was a true emergency, you'll see me up on the hill with my dog and hopefully some supplies. And that's, again, something more we're going to be talking about during the seminar session, because as I mentioned, there's really not much up the hill. There's no water source. There's no bathroom. So you want to think about these things. Now, you're not necessarily going to have to camp up on the site. We do have some plans to try to evacuate, and you'll learn more about during the seminar is the water necessarily won't stay forever, but it'll be a good couple hours. So something that you want to start thinking about is if you're stranded up on this hill for 5 hours, what would you need? You know, water? Do you want to have some food? Is there any medication that you might want? So that's something that you just might want to think about and be prepared for. So again, Saturday, September 28th, if you haven't already registered, unfortunately, we can't guarantee you a t-shirt, but we still encourage you to register. We are going to try to have a few extra, and we'll hopefully be able to maybe work something out for you. We still want to encourage that registration and to have as many people there as possible. Like I said, we've had a really good response, so we're looking for a lot of people up on the hill. So hopefully see you Saturday, September 28th. Other two items I want to mention that are coming up in October that we'll be talking about more as we get closer to it is the Farmers Market is winding down. They've had a great season so far, but talking with the staff with the farmers market, they have scheduled the last farmers market for Tuesday, October 1st. So do your best if you can to get out these last couple weeks and visit the farmers market. It's always a great time. They have a wonderful activities and great vendors. I know you will enjoy it. And also put on your calendar, especially of those of you that have young ones, is our annual Parade of Costumes, sponsored by the Carnation Chamber, is coming up on Saturday, October 26th in the afternoon. If you haven't participated before, it is a great event. Nothing better than see our young Carnation residents walking up and down the streets. So many of the local businesses support it and allow, basically it's an event where we meet up at Tolt Commons, and then there's a large amount of our businesses have candy and treats for the young ones, and you can get a head start on your trick-or-treating activities. And of course they do a lovely costume contest, a bunch of different categories. It's always a lot of fun. That's how the day ends up. So hopefully the afternoon, check website and I'll begin promote more of the time. I believe it starts at 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. and it goes for 2 hours. But Saturday, September 26th, so start thinking about your costumes, get it on your schedule, and we hope to see you there. So I know there'll be more events coming up, and hope to see you at some of these that I just mentioned a minute ago. And I do appreciate you tuning in, learning more about the exciting events going on here in Carnation, and hope you keep tuning in every Sunday here on Carnation Currents. And as always, keep listening to Valley 104.9.
Remember to take the journey on Sunday nights at 10 p.m. to midnight with Musical Star Streams, hosted by Forrest. Each week brings a new 2-hour episode of Exotic Electronica. It follows Radio Masterpieces, which airs at 9 p.m. on Valley 104.9, your community station. And thanks for listening to Valley 104.9.
Sunday evenings here on Valley 104.9, enjoy Radio Masterpieces from 9 to 10. Where I, Bruce Kaplan, will transport you back to the wonderful memories of yesterday. You'll experience the greatest, most suspenseful mysteries of the golden age of radio. Be sure and tune in to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 104.9, Sunday evenings from 9 to 10.
Hi, this is Ian King, host of Equinox on Valley 104.9. It's Oktoberfest again. Come join Valley 104.9 for our second annual Oktoberfest in the Valley celebration and fundraising auction. Sunday, October 6th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Snow Valley Senior Center in downtown Carnation. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have live music from Garrett and the Sheriffs, great food provided by Pete's Club, adult beverages and sodas, great desserts from Piddle Sugar, and the main event, a live auction with all proceeds going to help keep Valley 104.9 on the air, bringing you eclectic music, Valley talk, and local news and information. Get your tickets now at www.brownpapertickets.com. Search for event 4352461 or Valley 1049. Come join us and have a fun event while doing your part to help support commercial-free community radio in the Snoqualmie Valley.